Hello, everyone. Welcome to Celtic Preacher Podcast 217. You know, what's fascinating is that all the stories of Jesus encountering his students after Easter are all about doubt and fear and confusion. Yeah, after the resurrection, after what we call Easter Sunday, every single time Jesus appears to his disciples, he has to start with the words, Shalom, peace be with you, because they just don't have any peace. That's what we're going to be talking about today, going to be looking at something I think that is pretty common to us all, and that is fear and doubt. And we can doubt in so many different ways. I mean, doubt comes in so many shapes and sizes. We can doubt ourselves. We can doubt that God will help us or lead us. We can wonder and question, can God really be trusted? Does God really care? Will God truly help me, or is this just wishful thinking? Yeah. And of course, doubt can extend to, is there a God at all? I mean, there's certainly lots of people that have struggled with that, isn't there? Is there a God at all, let alone a God who cares and helps me? Is God real? Well, I have never encountered anyone who hasn't had doubts about God in some capacity or another. I think it goes with the territory of being human. It is not easy trusting in someone that you cannot see. And Jesus himself tells his friend Thomas this in the text that we're looking at today. He's known as Doubting Thomas, but no, it's not really fair in a way, because they all had their, many of the disciples had their doubts. Let's just say that. There's a lot of fear and shame and confusion following Jesus' death. And on Easter Sunday morning, remember Mary went to the tomb and she finds the tomb empty, right? And what's her first reaction? She's scared. Yeah. What's the first thing Jesus says to her? Shalom, peace be with you. Yeah, she thinks the worst thing possible. This is terrible. The grave's empty. The stone's been rolled away from the cave door. The enemies have come and they've done this and they've stolen the body. She thinks the worst possible thing. They all think that, yeah. They're all scared. So the story continues on Easter Sunday night. Jesus appears to his closest disciples. Now, Thomas doesn't happen to be there. He misses this event. For some reason or another, he's not there. And John tells us, we're in John 20, they were all hiding and the door was locked. Now, not really given any details apart from the fact that the door is locked because they're all afraid. And they are afraid because they think that the people who arrested Jesus might come after them and arrest them, and they might end up on crosses too, so they all might die. So what we've come to call Easter Sunday, on Easter Sunday night, they're all scared, and they're all confused, and they're all hiding behind this locked door due to fear. And John tells us that suddenly, Jesus stood among them. Suddenly, he just appears. In some form, Jesus stood among them and says, peace be with you. Now, peace is the furthest thing from their minds. Remember, they're terrified. They're in grief. They are distraught. They're confused. Such an interesting word, this word, peace. Eirene is the Greek, and shalom is the Hebrew. And it means this, when you look at the word shalom. Shalom refers to something that is complex with lots of pieces that comes together in a state of completeness. So let's say you have a rock that's smashed in a million pieces, right? So you have this rock and it's smashed up and it's completely fragmented. If shalom comes to the rock, then all the broken pieces come together to make a whole piece. That's the image of peace. That's the image of shalom. So, for example, when you apply it to a person, we know when we don't have shalom, right? We know when we are fragmented, right? We know when we are broken. We know when we're distraught. We know when something is missing, something is out of alignment. If something's out of alignment, there's no shalom. Shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole. Something needs healed. Something needs restored. Right? So this is Jesus' word to Mary, Easter morning. First thing he says to her, remember she's crying in the garden. She thinks that the gardener's taken away the body. First thing he says, peace, shalom. Sunday night, disciples hiding behind locked doors, scared. First thing, shalom. Shalom. A week later, now remember Thomas missed this Sunday night event where Jesus appeared and gave out the word shalom. A week later, Thomas and the disciples again are hiding behind closed doors. Now, by this point, a week's passed, and all the other disciples have told Thomas that they actually had an encounter with this resurrected Christ. And Thomas' reaction is, I absolutely don't believe it. Unless I see his hands, I need to see the wounded hands and touch them. I need to see his side where he was pierced by that sword. I need to see his wounded feet. I don't believe a word of what you're telling me, Thomas said. A week later, they're all hiding. And again, Jesus appears with this word. Looks at Thomas and says, shalom. Looks at Thomas and says, shalom. It's like, Thomas, I hear you're looking for proof and you need to touch my wounded hands and side. Well, here you are. Here you are. Go ahead. Giving you what you need. Now, we never ever do find out if Thomas touches him or not, because as soon as he sees Jesus, he falls to his knees and is like, my Lord and my God. Of course he believes. He sees Jesus there standing before him. And then Jesus says an interesting thing to him. He says, Thomas, you believe because you got what you wanted, right? You wanted proof. You said, you know, you laid out all these conditions. You said, well, I have to see him with my own eyes. I have to see his wounded hands. I have to touch him. I have to see his wounded side. So you're believing because all your terms have been met. You said, I need all these things to happen. And all these things have happened, and now you believe. But here's the thing, Thomas. That's not trust. That's not really faith. That's getting what you want. In other words, that's being in control. That's still being in control. That's things like life and people and circumstances going the way you want, and then you trust God. And then Jesus said, well, here's the thing. Blessed are those who believe but haven't seen. That's a stronger place to come from, Thomas, he says. It's like, Thomas, what you're doing just now is, it's almost like a, it's almost like baby faith or infant faith. It's like, it's not really trust. It's not really belief. All you're doing is that you're setting forth conditions. I'll believe if this happens. Jesus said, that's not quite it. I mean, I'm meeting you here and I'm helping you. But blessed are those who trust but can't see. It's like, Thomas, this doesn't work out over a lifetime. This isn't going to bring you shalom. It's not going to bring you shalom at the depth that I want to bring you shalom. Now, I think we can easily do the same thing as Thomas, in the sense that, you know, we have these requirements that we expect and want God to fulfill. And they can be anything. You know, I want this particular job. I need this to work out. I need this relationship to work out. I want it to look this way, fill in the blank. I need this healing. And then if you do this for me, then I'll trust you. And it's like we can have a list of things. God, if you just help this one person that I love, then it'll be so much easier to trust you. If you just work out this difficult relationship, it'd be so much easier to trust you. If you could just do this thing for me. It's the same thing as what Thomas did. If I just touch his hand, then I'll be able to trust. And Jesus is saying, that's an immature faith. That's a baby faith. Blessed are those who can trust before they see what they need to see, in other words. Yeah. Can you learn how to trust when you don't have all your ducks in a row? Can you learn how to trust when life isn't going the way that you want it to go? That's a lot harder, isn't it? It's a lot harder. I think it's going to take some practice. Now, Jesus did eventually leave them. He wasn't actually with them that long, maybe 40 days. Physically, we're talking about appearing, coming and going like this. This is very, very short-lived, because after he left, they would only access his presence in the way that we access it now, which is quite, quite different, right? Because you and I aren't having encounters, visible encounters with Jesus. Well, I'm sure some people might say that they do, but generally speaking, that's not our experience, right? We're basically having to take God at God's word, which is why we're always looking at Scripture. It's like, what does Scripture say? What did Jesus say in Scripture? Well, we keep emphasizing that because we know that he's not going to just appear before us and have a chat and settle our minds and tell us what to do. It doesn't work that way. And here he's saying, you know, blessed are those who can trust when I'm not standing here before them, showing them my wounds, that they're holding on in faith. It's like, Thomas, that's what you need to learn. Can you learn how to walk by faith and not by sight? That's a far more mature, steady faith. Yeah, Thomas needed some shalom. He needed some wholeness and some healing to his trust level, because he had a lot of trouble trusting, as many of us do, right? As many of us do. And here's the encouraging part about this story with Thomas. Thomas is so distraught. He's so filled with grief. He's so disappointed, so devastated by Jesus' death. He simply can't help himself. He can't get to the place where he needs to get to trust. And yet Jesus goes out looking for Thomas and find some. Isn't that great? It's like, there's going to be so many times in our lives that we don't know how to find God or find trust or stop doubting or stop being fearful. Jesus goes out looking for Thomas, for you. And it's not just Thomas he found. You know, he found Mary crying in the garden. Later on, he goes out to look for Peter, who's got a different set of issues. Not so much fear, more shame for Peter, but similar thing. He's still locked up, you know, behind closed doors of a different making. And look who always comes and appears behind the locked doors of our own construction, right? Because we can all hide. We can all hide from different things. And yet this resurrected one is always coming, not to correct, not to shame, not to judge, but to always bring shalom. That whole idea of all the fragmented pieces in our life, all the broken places. And then Jesus speaks this word of peace, and things start to become whole. Such a major, major theme throughout Scripture, Jesus, Prince of Peace. Actually, it was the word that was spoken at his birth, during the Christmas stories, the Christmas narrative, same thing. The angels of Bethlehem, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to all people. Why? Because the Prince of Peace has been born and he brings shalom. Yeah. It's like, Jesus, this is what Jesus does. I'm seeking you out to bring you wholeness in your fears, in your failures, in your doubts, whatever you find yourself behind locked doors. So it's like, well, where am I all locked up? You know? Where am I hiding? Where am I hiding? They're all scared. They're all hiding. And that's the place he meets them. That's a similar pattern with us. You know, healing, it seems to be, I'm suggesting that God wants to bring shalom to our broken world, and it starts with us, right? Because it's hard for us to bring it to anyone else unless we have it ourselves. I'm suggesting that first God brings it to us, and the target areas are whatever we hide from, whatever we find ourselves, wherever we find ourselves behind closed doors, hiding, whatever we're scared, in other words, whatever we don't want to look, that is usually the area that keeps on showing itself so that God can bring us wholeness and healing and shalom. Whatever the fear is, whatever the failure is, whatever the grief is, whatever the anger is, whatever the disappointment, the disillusionment, the devastation, anything, doesn't matter. It's like, yeah. If it's locking you up, if you feel like you're stuck behind a closed door, if it's taking away your freedom, that's the place the resurrected one appears. That's the way Jesus works. And of course, there's always a choice, you know, there's always a choice with healing. I think we can say no. We can say, I don't want to look at that. We can say, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to look at this fear. I don't want to look at this grief. I don't want to look at this problem. And yeah, if that's where we are, then God will wait until we are ready. Because it's not always easy to be open to God bringing us shalom, right? Because sometimes, this is interesting that a friend of mine said last week, sometimes things get better before they get worse. In other words, sometimes if you're dealing with something, let's say you have trouble with unforgiveness or anger or fear, doesn't matter, whatever it is. Sometimes just to even look at the problem rather than deny it brings a discomfort and a suffering. So it's easier, we think, to just push it away. And yet with God, there's always this sort of invitation. If you're ready to look at this, if you would like healing, if you would like restoration, I am willing to come and meet you behind this locked door, and together we will face this, and I will bring you shalom. Yeah, I'll bring you shalom. I think it always starts first with us, but shalom isn't a static thing. I think the idea is that once we have some peace ourselves, we are far more likely to be able to pass that peace on to the other people in our lives. That's why he says, but actually that's one of the first things that Jesus said to his students, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So he's saying, I'm bringing you wholeness. I'm bringing you peace. Not just, you know, for the sake of it. Not just for your own enjoyment. It's like, I didn't give you this just for you. Yeah, you can enjoy it and bask in it and enjoy your healing and your wholeness. That's great. But even more importantly, as the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. I'm giving you capacity to pass that on. That really is your purpose of why you're here in this world. You will bring shalom to others that you encounter in any way. That's really our purpose. You know, sometimes people wonder about, well, what am I supposed to be doing here? Well, there it is, Jesus would say. You are a bringer of shalom. As the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. So yeah, there's the prayer and there's the heart cry. It's like, God, yes, I am willing, I am open to you breaking down any locked doors in my life that you might bring me your shalom and your healing, and that I in turn will pass that on to others. Peace be with you.